joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, Alex
Hey, woo-woo. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman.
Boothman. Yes.
My goodness, you guys. We have a big week and a big show ahead of you. But first, last week on the show, Newsman Pete made a big scoop.
The Upton Sinclair of Comic Book Club, Pete LePage.
Upton Sinclair?
It's an old newspaper reference.
Oh, okay.
The Jungle. Thank you, Boothman, for reading up on some journalism history.
Yeah, so we're going to talk a lot about journalism, but Pete broke a scoop about Patrick Stewart probably starring in a new X-Men movie.
Scoop LePage.
That got spread around a lot. We got a lot of views, got a lot of hits for that, a lot of people listening to the podcast.
While you guys are reading comic books, I'm out on the street.
Great.
Talking to people, getting the scoop.
Awesome. So, what's the big scoop this week?
What's the big scoop?
Well, I don't know.
Old celebrities you talked to? Doddering old men you've weaseled some information out of?
No, well, I'm sure you guys are really broken up about that NFL game last night, right? I mean, that was
Real quick, define NFL? is that a new team going up again?
Yeah, is this a scoop you're going to break that there was a game?
There's this thing invading Marvel. It's called.
Is that like the MLF, the Mutant Liberation Front?
Yeah, exactly. Nice.
Cool.
I have no scoop, guys. I'm sorry. No news.
All right, so Pete's off the show, but we have three amazing guests for you. Who are actually on the show. We're going to get some real scoop from them. Real news, not like Newsman Pete. Ladies and gentlemen, the team from Epix!
Yeah! Welcome, guys. Welcome. Please join us on stage.
Right on stage.
Thank you.
We just got to do a 20-minute mic check, and then we'll be ready to go.
Grab a seat.
Wherever
you
guys
want to
sit. Come on, we're running low on time.
You guys are so cordial with each other.
Yes, you're right.
Gentlemen.
One thing I know about the new anthology, Epix, is everybody is very polite.
Yeah. Great.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what you want out of comic books. You want politeness.
Right. Yeah. You can really read it in the pages that you guys are very polite and you like each other.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. First order
of business.
Yeah. Before we start talking about the anthology, this is kind of important. We teased this last week. There's going to be a little bit of a showdown because, Anthony, you were the original Boothman.
Yeah, I was.
Almost 6 years ago.
I'm the Earth One Boothman.
Wow. What does that make me?
Earth Z was the one with Nazis, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm definitely not that one.
No.
Not
you're,
yet.
You're Beastman Boothman.
Beastman Boothman? Yeah.
But Boothman, this job does have a future. I mean,
a job? Am I supposed to be getting paid?
Uh-oh. Abort. Abort conversation.
Let's talk about Epix.
Yeah.
So, guys, very quickly, if you want to just kind of go down, introduce yourselves, particularly for the podcast audience, and you all have very different experience and have come from different places, so why don't we start over here?
My name's Fernando Ruiz, and I've worked for Archie Comics. I pencil the Life with Archie magazine. And I've been teaching at the Joe Kubert School for 16 years now.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, I know. So the latest thing that we've all been working on is Epix, which is our anthology comic book that we all put together. And my feature in it is called The Iron Ghost. So.
I'm Fabio Redivo. I was actually born in Brazil. I moved here because of the Kubert School.
Nice.
Back in Brazil, I was a graphic designer, and one day I had a meltdown. I hated what I was doing, and I wanted to draw comics. I came to the school.
Meltdowns are awesome.
I know, right? It was really screw this computer crap, even though I teach computer now at the Kubert School. But at the time, I had a little, I don't want to draw comics. I came here. Fernando was my teacher, actually my first teacher the first day at school in 2003. After that, I met Tyler, who is the owner, the president at Wave Blue World Comics, and he sponsored my way back to the country. So I worked with him since maybe a month ago, where our contract But then we're back.
And now you're being shipped back to Brazil?
Yeah, no, right? But then it's kind of crazy, maybe we'll talk about this later, but Wave Blue World will be the company publishing Epix from now on.
Nice.
So you know, that contact, it was great. And I met, you know, then I met Anthony later. And it was kind of, it's kind of like a little order. Like, I was Fernando's student, and then I start teaching, and then he was like, you know, Fernando and my student.
Oh, cool. And now
Anthony's here. Over there is Anthony's student.
Yep. Yeah. He's going to teach you to draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we actually taught Boothman first, I think.
Yes, we did.
It's all right.
We, when you weren't working in the booth, what we do is we take it back to our hovel.
This
is that a good
terrifying.
Word?
Yeah.
It does. I don't
and
like where this
run
is going.
His paces.
And we were like, draw! Draw!
I don't want to. Right.
No, officially, you know.
But, yeah, my name is Anthony Marquis.
Thank you.
I'm an illustrator, you know, cartoonist guy. My story is Katyusha, which I did for Epics. Fernando was the first teacher that I had at the school. And then I had Fabio Redivo. He was another one of my teachers. There's nothing really too much to explain about.
Well, how did this all come about? Whose brainchild was this?
Anthony's.
Oh, nice. The student became the master.
That's right.
Well, what happened was I started working at the school. I'm their events and marketing guy now. And basically, the one day I just went up to them because I admire these guys. I look up to them. And I was like, hey, let's work on something together, you know? Like, I would love to, nice. Like, mess around. You know, casual. We love certain kind of stories.
So you went up to your teacher and said, hey, let's mess around. Classic.
I just wanted to, like, make it, like, Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, no meth labs were involved, but...
So you're Aaron Paul, and that makes you a Walt.
And this is and Mike Ehrmantraut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorry, bro. Spoiler also.
But yeah, you know, I just brought it up, and thankfully they all seemed to like the idea, and we just messed around with some different ideas, and next thing you know, we have this lovely little anthology book.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So let's talk about Epics. What's the idea of it, other than it's epic?
I'll let you tackle it.
Shut up, Boothman.
Well, it's an anthology book, so our whole idea behind it was that we wanted to do, each of us were going to do our own story. So we came up with one theme that would unify the whole book. So for our first issue, the theme is the 1950s. So all of our stories are set in 1959. And then we each just did our own story. Like Fabio did a crime noir type of story with a classic, you know, 1950s Private Eye. Anthony just wanted to do things shooting at each other and guys with jetpacks. And I wanted to do kind of a Twilight Zone horror thing from, like, you know, kind of like the Atlas comics of the 1950s. Nice. So we all worked well together, and that's one of the reasons we all contributed to it, was that my reason was I knew working with these guys that it would get done. You know, I knew them from when they were my students, and they passed, most of them. So I knew they were hard workers.
Awesome.
The book's great.
Yeah. Well,
thanks.
A lot of anthologies, it's like, oh, man, that one story was terrible. Yeah. This one, I liked all the stories here. It's cool. Very good.
Yeah. I also, sometimes you say when you have like a group of stories, like, oh, yeah, there's something for everybody, but there isn't. This is like four stories, four different style.
There's four stories. I was even going to say that there's
have a fourth guy, but he couldn't come.
He's not here.
Oh, good. Let's never mention him again.
By special. Okay.
Never speak of him. So if he didn't cover this show, he's fucking done.
As I was saying, Zelda, four stories.
Love right. Oh, Pete.
Sorry, Pete. Yeah. Real good scoop.
So I really liked how different they were, but also I really liked the different styles from each one, completely different art. Really was fantastic, and what I liked about it is like the first one is it makes you really wants you to you want to read more and you want to get more. So congratulations!
I felt bad about that first story because I was like, I just want to blow stuff up and have guys flying around. I was like, there's not a lot of story going on, you know, besides just a guy flying around shooting at MIGs and whatnot. But it's what I like to draw.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Did you? You know, there's not the biggest market out there for indie anthologies. Was that any concern going into this at all?
We didn't care.
Yeah.
Stone cold. We're just like, we don't give
a shit. We wanted to do
shit.
What we want, and, you know, that's what it is. Let it be what it is.
That's awesome.
People buy it, great. Please buy it.
But it sold out twice. Right?
We don't give a shit about anything.
Well,
sold out
on Amazon twice. Yeah.
We've sold out on Amazon two times. selling really well so far.
You had to shut down the town when you did a signing, right?
Yeah, cops had to show up and tell people to, like, get... I'm not even joking. They had to tell them to get out of the streets.
Were they stripper
Was the
cops?
Town New York?
If it was New York, that'd be great.
City.
No,
is that why
Madison,
Obama's
New
in
Jersey.
Town right now?
He's here to... Yeah, he's picking up his issue of Epics.
Yeah,
at the UN.
We actually last week he was in town and I invited him to this show.
You did. You called him out.
He did not show up.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Meanwhile, Mitt Romney's been standing off stage, just like, please talk to me. Yeah. Please talk to me.
Yeah, he gave himself a 10 just so it would fit in with comic book fans.
No, Zalbert, you've been watching the news.
Yeah,
you've been watching the real news.
If he wanted to. If he wanted to fit in, he wouldn't tan.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. He'd pale.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's why his team wanted him on this show. He already is tan, like, next to you, anyway.
Right. Hey. you mentioned this before, but you guys have actually been picked up by a publisher and are going to be doing a bunch more of these. So could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. You want to handle that one?
Well, yeah. Tyler, he started a company always with the focus of trying to do something different. Than capes, you know, like no superhero. So we started a company with a title called Adrenaline. It was a 8-issue miniseries. And for us, it was a learning curve. Like, you can only learn so much at the school. But we'd learn how to deal with Diamond and distribution and printing in China and all that kind of stuff. So the book had, like, a good peak, and then, you know, it sort of fell to... Who's this book again kind of thing. I think it was like too much of a miniseries. Like, you know, it would be better if it was like a 4-issue. We'll keep in people's mind. Anyway, we have a graphic novel of that. And then after that, he wrote a book called American Terrorist. Was done by, he wrote it, and Andy McDonald, did NYC Mac, and I think he's working for Marvel now. He did the interiors. And it's like it's exclusive on print, a graphic novel. And you can buy the individual issues on Comixology and all those websites and whatnot. And the book went really well. We were at December last year on the New York Times as a best read. I did all the lettering. I always do production and that kind of crap. And after that, he moved to Portland. Like, he keeps moving in the company.
He's into microbreweries now.
Yeah, you know, and he's like, he sort of like really needed, I think, something new and fun to bring back, you know, like the ideal or the idea that the company had in the first place. And next thing you know, like, hey, we have a book done. You know, you don't need to do anything. It's done. It's printed. And so he really bought the idea. And now it's kind of good to work with somebody else telling you, you know, we have a deadline. We need to meet this. Because the first book was just the four of us. And,
well,
you know, the deadline was like April something, and then it turned to June, and then it turned to July because, you know, we all professionals
working with it. Way to throw like, us under the bus, that. Fabio.
It's just like, you know, it was a side project at first place. I think one of the questions you, you know, from the previous question was like, we never, at least, you know, when we talk, we never had the idea it would be so big. Like, you know, we wanted to draw
so
six
epic.
Pages. Yeah. We wanted to draw 6 pages of something, and that was it. And next thing you know, it's all over Facebook, you know. I think the school that we teach, like, all the students are talking about, and it became something bigger than we expected.
The books, I mean, now Way Blue World's going to be publishing it, and then now all of a sudden it turned into now they want to do spinoffs, and now that's going to be coming out in the next, you know, next year. So we have a spinoff coming out with Katyusha. We're going to have a spinoff with the Iron Ghost as well. We're in talks to do other books. And then Epics itself is going to go quarterly, so then we're going to do spin-offs out of even more stories that we're writing.
So much spinning.
But, you know, it's really cool, though, because it's you're right at, like, the start of it all. And I think it's, you know, all these different creators that are, you know, talking about going independent right now and trying to work their way with that. It's a great time to be out there to start doing your own books and doing your own things, and it's, like, right at the forefront of it. So
plus,
it's really enjoyable.
If you're all at the school, I mean, you got plenty of people to help you with it. If you're like, I can't get these
cherry picking,
done.
Bro. Cherry picking.
Yeah, exactly.
All you really have to do is be a booth man at a comic book talk show, and it all happens.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Hey! Well,
maybe not you.
Yeah. Oh, except for you. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I believe in you, booth man. I believe in you.
Yeah, Boothman, what's your dream?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
What's a dream?
Exactly.
Perfect. We've programmed him. We've brainwashed him. He has no hopes.
Everybody. Yeah. All right, guys. I think we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
All right. In the stack, we're going to talk about some books that we particularly liked and go to bat for them. First thing we're going to talk about, Fables number 121 from Vertigo Comics.
Yeah.
Polite clapping. Polite clapping.
Now, Justin, I know you like this book a lot. You want to talk about it?
I love this book. This is the end of a long and horribly depressing story arc.
Yeah, which is actually set in Toyland.
Yeah, yep. Set
no
in Toyland.
Yeah.
Babes in Toyland. It has nothing to do with this. Yep. But
you just wanted to say that?
Yep. Okay. So the one of the kids, one of Snow White's kids, has been off in this Toyland sort of trap. These like broken toys came and kidnapped her.
It's the saddest story of all time.
Yeah, I know. And then her brother came after her, and he did something.
It's the greatest story ever told.
did something terrible to save her, and this is sort of the epilogue, bringing everything to a close. I mean, Fables is a great series. This is the first arc that, like, really I felt like sort of was its own fairy tale almost. Like a lot of Bill Willingham stuff, like, takes all the fairy tale characters and uses them to sort of jam and like, oh, they live in a city, isn't that weird? This one felt like a Brothers Grimm story. Like, it was just super sad, and there were nice characters made sacrifices. It was really great.
It was like a nightmare, because you have all these toys,
good, great nightmare,
that, you know, kids love and cherish, but they're all beat up and missing limbs and eyeballs.
Yeah, it was like a nightmare you have to pay $4 a month for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I liked picking it up and reading it, but afterwards I was like, oh, I feel like shit. I've got to kill myself. This is awful. But yeah, it's still very good.
it had a profound effect on me.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think the thing that's very cool about this, for those of you who haven't read Fables, and the initial idea was these fairy tale characters all getting together, like you said, living in a big castle together in the real world. It's grown out of that. What I think is cool here is we're having the children of Snow White and the Big Bad Wolf. So you have this second generation fairy tale. So they're actually starting, like you said, to forge their own fairy tales. And it's really neat. I mean, it shows how much he's grown as a writer and how much the series has grown that it's able to get to this point. Do you guys read Fables? Any thoughts on this?
I was just confused. Big Bad Wolf and Snow White.
Yeah, they hooked
had
up.
A baby.
Oh, okay.
They
I
had
you
a
were saying you confused the Big Bad Wolf.
They had
and Snow
a litter.
They had a ton of babies.
Wow, we're starting from there.
They had seven babies. What happens is they met, you know, they met each other, and then they like went out a couple times.
Ooh, what happened?
And then like, after a little while,
tell
they sort of
tell people, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Good grease.
Okay.
Whoa! Real. I mean,
for those of you who couldn't hear it at home, he asked whether Snow White was nice.
Yeah, that's really nice. No, a member of the audience said, "Did they do it doggy style?" And then he vanished. I don't know. That was very strange. And the answer is yes. Actually, I don't know if you've just
six
asked.
Issue arc nonstop. Great. All right, let's move on with another comic that's coming out this week. This is All-Star Western number 0 from DC Comics.
Polite clapping? Come on, yeah.
Polite clapping. Now, I'm curious, Pete. Yep. You're...
A Jonah Hex.
You're a jackass.
Oh.
Well, all right. For those of you who don't know, about a year ago, the DC Comics rebooted with this new 52. One of the things they did was took the character of Jonah Hex, old-school Western guy, put him in Gotham City. So he's now having semi-mystical adventures in Gotham City. By the exact same writing team, exact same art team.
Same character. Just in a city.
Yeah,
in a city, but it's not called Jonah Hex anymore. It's
called All-Star Western.
So do you want me to tear off the title page, the cover, and you just
wouldn't
give me the
comic? Wouldn't help.
Okay.
Yeah, so the two things that changed are the title and the setting. And Pete went from Jonah Hex's number one fan to hating the book because of that.
Right, exactly. Because you take a character who's fantastic in this fantastic world of old-timey Western, and then put him in the city to be like, right. Oh, look at how you don't
Well, you're
fit.
Saying, like, Babe Pig in the City.
Yeah, there you go.
He hated that movie, but loved Babe, if I remember correctly. Pete, what did you think of The Punisher when he went to space?
Space Punisher, fantastic. Still going on.
Now, the reason I was curious to hear about what you thought about this issue is takes Jonah Hex out of the city.
Yep.
And it's called Jonah Hex again. So, did you like it again?
I did, for... I loved it without the first page and the last two, because then it went right back to Gotham City, and I was like, damn you, you fucking...
Man, you should move to the country.
Yeah. I should.
Why do you hate cities so much? You live in one.
Yeah, I do. I don't know why. This was fantastic because we got to see the origin story, and you knew it was going to be brutal. And it was.
Well, it's amazing. The first sort of four pages are Jonah Hex's dad, and he's like, my wife's giving birth in this cabin. Do you have a problem? And then he just kills like nine guys.
It's like, yeah, there's Jonah Hex's dad.
And then literally you turn
guys,
the page.
You guys haven't had kids, right?
Huh?
You guys haven't had kids? I've had a kid. That's what you have to do.
When, wow. Oh, as a sacrifice?
Yeah, you got to kill nine guys.
Oh, wow. What were your guys like? How'd
real,
you kill
real them? Real small.
Yeah, very weak.
We're you here to kill you. Them. Mostly babies.
Yeah, you mostly podcasted babies. Them to death.
Oh,
and then you literally... So Jonah Hex is dead. I don't know how much spoiling we're supposed to do on this, but he kills... Jonah Hex kills these guys. Next page, he's a drunk, and like he's like beating his family, and it's like, oh, what a
here's,
turn.
Here's my question for you guys. If you have no money and things are looking down for you, why can everybody afford booze? I don't get that.
You find a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers.
Good question. Cheers. You just get,
I thought this was a great
comic.
It's
called Running Up a Tab, Zalbin. Yeah. Just Run Up a Tab.
This is a great comic. If you've never read Jonah Hex before, never read All-Star Western before, good art, good writing, definitely pick this up. Let's move on to the next thing we're going to talk about, from a beginning to an ending. Let's talk about Snarked number 12 from Boom Comics.
Boom!
Yeah, all right.
Clapping.
Clearly don't know what it is. So Snarked is a title by Roger Langridge, jamming together all the characters from the Lewis Carroll books from Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, and recontextualizing them in a new way, following an adventure with the Walrus and the Carpenter as they try to help the future Red Queen find her dad. I love this series. I thought this was a fantastic all-ages series, really funny, really heartfelt, and it has a beautiful little ending. What did you guys think?
I think you love this series because you have a daughter.
Yeah?
Well, as I was reading it, I was like, I wonder why Alex... Because I liked it all right. I like Roger Langridge's writing. Like his work on Popeye, I have been really following, love it. But I was reading this, I was like, why did Alex love it so much? It's about a daughter who's, like, desperate to, like, hang out with her dad. And I was like, I think that's why Alex loved this. Yeah.
Can
is
I
that
tell
true?
You? You're very close. It's actually because I want to connect with my walrus.
Oh, yeah. I feel like eventually your daughter and your walrus are going to, like, compete for your affection.
Never going to happen.
You're going to choose walrus?
Yeah, I'm going to choose
always
walrus.
Always go walrus?
Yeah, always go with the guy with the mustache.
Tons of people have daughters, but how many people have walruses?
Right? How many people have walruses? Where are my walrus fans at?
Yeah.
One guy.
Where are my walrus bark?
Where are my walruses at?
Where are my walrus bark, my walruses?
Pete, what'd you think about this book?
It's adorable. You know, if I had a daughter, maybe I'd like it too.
You guys.
Darling.
Even if you don't have a daughter, you'll like this book. Let's talk about the last thing. Last comic, Wolverine and the X-Men, number 17.
Yeah. This should be louder than polite clapping. Yeah. This is
now,
amazing
this
book.
Was a huge surprise because initially this book was supposed to be an Avengers versus X-Men tie-in. Last second, it got switched around. Now it's an issue drawn by Mike Allred, written by regular series artist Jason Aaron, focusing on the character of Dupe that was introduced way back in Ecstatics, and giving you a little bit of what Dupe does at the new Jean Grey school.
What Dupe
and do? Also how what he Dupe does do. What he does, which we never really found out in Ecstatics. What'd you guys think about this book? This
well, was I was amazing. Like, I thought the only reason you liked it is because you have a Dupe. You have a Dupe at home.
Yeah.
I thought this was great. This was such a fun standalone issue showing why Dupe's important and what all the like sort of crazy things he does.
Yeah.
As I was reading, I was like, oh, Dupe is sort of Slimer, pretty much, right?
Well, if Slimer was like kind of a college frat guy who got crazy and drank and went to strip clubs and shit like
John
that.
John Belushi.
So he's like a Slimer Belushi mashup.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Pete, what'd you think about this book?
No, this was really funny. Kind of a fun thing of like, let's point the spotlight on a smaller character that we see in the background a lot, and why the heck is he here, and what does he do? And I love the fact of like Wolverine having to jump through hoops to get this guy on the team, and then he's like, why is he so important? And you get to see why. I thought it was really fantastic.
This dude barfs a bowling ball.
Yes, he does. Nice. The thing that I think is so cool about this book, again, if you've never read any of the other books for Wolverine and the X-Men, you can jump right in here. The art is gorgeous by Mike Allred, as usual, but it's hilarious. Yeah. This book is so funny from top to bottom, but they also managed to put some emotion in there. For somebody who's essentially just a big green glob like Slimer, they give him an emotional arc over the course of the book, and that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, you can find emotions everywhere, Alex. It's an important lesson for you, especially in relation to your daughter and walrus.
Yeah. Well, I feel a little stronger about my walrus.
Noted.
Cool. That's it for the stack. All right. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to New Styles.
To current Boothman.
Current timeline Boothman.
Current Boothman is the most insulting way of saying that.
Yeah. To
that
this
sounds like there's going to be a Boothman afterwards.
Tonight's Boothman.
In Boothman continuity, everything was retconned before me. So,
Are you the darker, grittier Boothman?
No, I think I'm like a hearkening back to the Silver Age.
Oh, you're a real Silver Age.
So what does that mean? Like I'm fun but drunk? Is that
sort of? Oh, it means no one reads you.
Oh, yep, that makes
sad.
Sense.
Oh, wow, real. Oh, everyone here is from the Silver Age.
All right, so. This first question I first thought was for the Epics team, but it could be for you guys as well.
Okay.
What challenges did you face in trying to cultivate an audience?
Oh, great question.
Let's turn to you guys first.
We didn't really worry about that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, neither did we.
Yeah. not because, like, it's not that we were like, oh, we're so worried about finding an audience. We just really wanted to write and draw stuff that we enjoyed. You know, the stuff in comic books that we enjoy and that we find to be fun. And we figured if we're having fun with it, hopefully other people will as well. And they would want to pick up the book. So we just did this for ourselves. And thankfully, it's worked out pretty well so far.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's basically what we did. Yep. We sat in a room and talked to each other.
Well, I wish we could do it for the love, but, you know, you guys make me read stuff that I don't want to read or do, but I still do it.
Yeah, you're in prison. You're on parole, basically. You're trapped here with us for Hell is Other People, if you're Jean-Paul Sartre.
Yeah, there you go.
It's on the top of my reading list. Cool.
Well, how did you guys go about, I mean, you weren't just like, we're doing it for fun and we're not telling anybody. How did you start to get the word out there?
Well, the Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah,
that's how we funded.
Started
our,
making like promo video. We're geeks.
You
right?
make promo
we love
videos.
This kind of, I would make promo videos.
Oh, like dance routines and stuff.
Like WWF style promo videos.
Is one of those. There's one of those out on the internet. You could find it YouTube Epics. All right, look it up. So anyway.
This Sunday.
This Sunday, pick up your issue of Epics. It's extreme and in your face. Will blow your mind away and melt your face like a Nazi in Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was awesome.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. One thing about that, comics come out on Wednesday.
You broke my heart.
Go there on Sunday. Yeah, then wait around day Monday and also Tuesday. And then Wednesday, maybe it'll come out. But maybe
we're
Wednesday.
Not sure. But you'll still melt like a Nazi. what was that question again? No.
How do you melt Nazis?
God.
But you know what? They just start melting.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
That's
very
how World
flammable,
War II was
those Nazis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very
well,
flammable.
I think they beat the Nazis with the common cold, right?
Yeah,
they weren't
true.
Prepared for it.
They were, yeah.
Yes, and their spaceships and whatever.
What?
I don't know what I'm talking about. Cool, raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
All right.
Which comic book character would make the best wingman or wingwoman?
Oh, good, good, good. The thing with picking a wingman, you want someone, like, interesting but worse looking than you.
Cannonball.
I think really? He's... Wait.
Not for me.
Oh. You want to be Cannonball's wingman?
Yeah, I want to be Cannonball's wingman.
That's great,
like,
man.
My
That's
buddy
really
can,
cool.
My buddy can smash through walls with his head. Check it out. Go out with him.
That's cool. Wow, you're a really very formal wingman.
Check it out.
Miss, please, sit down next to me. My buddy Cannonball's great. Please check him out. Please follow him
on
Twitter.
How do you wingman, man?
How do you wingman?
Yeah.
You would never wingman for anybody?
No way.
Why?
Why do you say it with such disdain?
Go for it myself.
I know. Yo, wow.
Yeah. I just have to go up to a girl and be like, I got a walrus.
And then.
And a daughter.
Yeah, and a wife.
That. And a wife.
You're a terrible wingman.
I don't know. I might have to go with somebody who can read minds. That way, you know. She'd be like, "Oh yeah, I'm really into you," and then
that was
like,
good.
She's not into you. Turns out you're not into me.
So you want a reverse wingman? Yeah. You want a lie detector to tell you what's up?
Yeah, exactly.
What if you have a guy who can implant thoughts?
Well, that's kind of like cheating, though. It's like cheating.
Getting
is
real?
It cheating? Really? Yeah. In the end of the night, it's like 2 in the morning.
Here, guys.
You're going home alone. Would that really be cheating? Really? Yeah. All right.
Or what about a shapeshifter? Right? So if you don't get the girl, then you can still go home with your wingman.
What?
Again, you are a terrible wingman. So you and I are out, and then the end of the night comes, and you're like, I'm like, hey, man, nothing happened. You're like, well, come on back to my bed. I guess that's sort of the best wingman.
That's the worst.
When it comes down to it.
Thanks, Justin.
That's so creepy.
What are you doing after the show? You want to go? You want to go out?
I gotta check with my wallet.
Yeah. Well, that's something to think about.
There you go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Nice question.
Let's get the next question.
If you could choose one work, one property, one character, etc., that you could protect from all remarks, reboots, and general fucking with, what would it be?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Watchmen, right? Everybody? Watchmen? Is that...
This I'm guessing is based on a thing that happened this week. There was news came out. George R.R. Martin said that he would love to write Doctor Strange for Marvel, but his one stipulation would be whatever he did, they could never change, and that would be in his contract. And it would be ironclad.
What a dick.
Well, he's saying he knows it would never happen.
So he's just saying things.
So he's just chatting. He should be fucking writing instead of talking to people.
So what do you guys think? Is there a character that you would want to never, ever change?
Sergeant Rock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why? Not a lot of people clamoring to change
him. I think they should just never do him again, like after Joe. Like, Joe was Sergeant Rock.
What about putting him in space? Fighting drug dealers.
Yeah, you know, just
Sergeant Moonrock.
Yeah. Oh.
That wasn't that clever, everyone.
That was sort of
never again.
It wasn't that great.
You know what? Could we switch you guys out?
I like
Booth
it where
man,
I
gotta
am.
Jump out there.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like this new Booth man's attitude.
Yeah.
New? How long you been working here? I mean, just hanging out.
Oh, you know, just 40 years.
Wow. Your hair is so gray.
Cool. Anybody else? Anybody else you would want to see stay in stasis forever?
In stasis forever.
You know, I gotta say, I feel like. Nobody really. I mean, that's probably why I framed it like that. I feel like part of the thing about comics is they change. Sometimes the changes are bad. Sometimes they're good.
Yep.
But they keep moving and they keep going.
As long as you keep like the core elements of the character and you just focus on making a good story.
But that's what's upsetting a lot of the times is when you think you have a character of like, oh, they're going to keep the integrity of this
character.
And then
character. All of a sudden they stick him in a city.
Yeah, exactly. Turn this world
Love
upside
that.
Down.
Yeah, that's insane.
Let's see a cowboy out of his element. Yay!
That's awesome. You ever seen The Cowboy Way? Same premise.
That worked really well.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
This is from Chris from Newcastle.
Oh, nice. Hi, Chris from Newcastle. That's Thanks for calling in.
Man, do you know how this show works?
Nope. First time caller.
So, first time host, long time listener.
If you could swap the gender of any comic character, who would it be and why?
Swap the gender. Yes.
Yes, you?
Yeah, raise your hand.
I would like to switch Katyusha, Anthony's, just so I see him drawing girls.
Does he always draw dudes?
Yeah.
That's it?
No, I draw the ladies, too.
No, it's cool, guys. No, it's cool.
No, sorry.
I swear,
teacher
I draw ladies, too, man. I swear.
Teacher
no,
said
no.
You only draw dudes.
What's the problem? You have trouble drawing breasts?
No, I enjoy drawing the ladies as well, but I enjoy drawing...
You sound like you're lying.
Yeah, I enjoy drawing the ladies.
I love drawing the ladies.
It kind of sounds like maybe you don't even know what ladies are.
Well, just look at someone on this... Shit.
Justin, could you change shape real quick?
Sure.
Just
show is it working?
Yep.
What? No! I'm all right.
Cool. Anybody else you'd like to see gender switched?
Wolverine. No. Lady Wolverine?
There is
they
one.
Got yeah, this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They got
this. No, I mean, it's a different character.
Would you want her to be like short and hairy and angry?
Yeah.
Whoa, Pete, what?
I want to see a short, hairy male or female Wolverine.
Yeah. You're sweet.
Can we have a Dr. Manhattan that is a chick so we don't need to deal
that'd
with,
be
the,
cool.
with the junk?
But she still has a penis?
Yeah, that would be.
But it's never
a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's a defining characteristic of Dr. Manhattan, right?
Right, yeah.
The penis?
Yeah, the penis.
Yeah.
Or are you just looking to see a naked woman?
No, I'm looking
could
not
be Dr.
to
Manhattan?
See a penis. You know? Can we not see a penis?
Nice.
That's the reason why I saw it.
Well, don't look down when you're naked then. Because you got one of those too, I'd imagine.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Right.
We have one more question.
All right. If we're all behaved, can we get early dismissal to go watch our Avengers DVD?
No.
Nope. What's the short? You got to go see Item 47? You're dying to see Item 47?
Yeah. You also, I guess, could have watched it before, right? Or we
a
could
lot of these people have jobs.
Oh, they do. They have jobs, which are coming to see comic books.
I just like how this person thinks it's
a lot of money.
School and that you are teachers.
No, we've tricked. We didn't answer before about how we get audiences tricking people into thinking it's school.
I got to get to class.
Did you guys pick up the Avengers DVD today? Is that something you're going
to
do?
I wanted to pick it up today.
Or Blu-ray.
But, you know,
yeah. Oh,
we were
Blu-ray.
Working.
You took the
would
path.
You get it digital on demand?
No.
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 Okay.
No.
Some people did, though. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
That was
great.
That was
a lot of fun.
Yeah. For those of you listening at home, the audience member nodded.
Pete's been working at the Museum of Natural History doing tour tapes.
Imagine if you were, you were in the Museum of Natural History and all of a sudden you heard Pete be like, this artist was,
Anyway, he put that building, that in a city, and I didn't like it anymore.
This painting sucks. This painting sucks. This painting sucks. That sculpture's awesome.
That's not natural history.
That's not natural history.
Huh?
That's not natural history.
Well, the other museum.
This isn't school.
I love how your comedy bit got called out.
I know, by
that's
a large section.
That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, brand new booth man.
Brand new booth man.
Man, you're really making your way, booth man. All right, let's move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Woo-woo!
Yeah. First thing we're going to talk about, rumor came out this week, this big rumor, so take it with a grain of salt, that the Warner Brothers people, the Warner Brothers...
the Warner Brothers themselves?
Yes. The Warner Sister.
Back from the dead, Warner Sister Dot. Back from the Dead, all of them. They are looking into the possibility of having Frank Miller maybe direct a Justice League film.
Great idea.
Awesome.
Great, smart
idea.
What
would you think about that? Great idea or best idea?
I would I would ring up Ben Affleck before I called Frank Miller.
Yeah?
Yeah. Definitely. Frank Miller, I don't know. You've seen his movies, right?
Yeah.
They're bad. Right? You guys are acting like I'm crazy.
You
is this
are
a
crazy.
Is this a Twilight Zone episode?
Sin City was good, dude.
But he didn't direct that.
You almost puked in your microphone.
What do you guys think? Would you want to see a Frank Miller Justice League film?
No.
No.
I respect Frank Miller, and I would be open to seeing any sort of a
answer
story
the
idea
question.
That he might have.
That guy wants a job.
And,
you want to be Frank Miller?
You know, everybody
he
has their own
lot.
Sort of thing that they might bring to it. I mean, it might be interesting just to see what he might think up.
Yeah, like just, Superman you know. With two swastikas on his tits or something like that.
I mean,
on his tits?
My ideal Justice League movie isn't written by Frank Miller, but I respect the guy as, like, you know, who he is as an artist and as a writer, and I mean, I'm not going to crap on him for it. So, I mean, yeah. I would still want to see what
you've,
he would say.
You've heard his rants, right? You know how crazy he is, right?
There's a lot of crazy people in comic books.
Sure.
Nice.
Great point. I don't think so.
All right. Let's move on with another Frank Miller thing, actually. Just another DVD that came out today. Batman, The Dark Knight Returns Part 1 came out. Digital On Demand, DVD, Blu-ray.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So this is a first part of an adaptation of Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. Have any of you guys got a chance to check it out?
I just saw an animated GIF online today, so that was pretty cool. Of him, of Batman jumping and the lightning striking.
Yeah.
So I sort of get it.
Uh-huh. I actually got a chance to check it out.
Of course you
I
did.
Thought, yeah, of course you did. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I was pretty surprised. I have sort of a low threshold for a lot of the DC animated, a lot of the Marvel animated movies. I feel like they're done a little too quickly, a little too cheaply. They don't really have a look to them. But this one, at least... had a look. It's very much an anime look. Like, they go for it a lot more than other movies, and it's not necessarily a Frank Miller look. But they make decisions, and I think that's actually a big thing. I know that seems kind of silly, but yeah, a lot of them are, like, just very bland. This one is not bland.
How close is to the real story, like the graphic novel?
Well, here's the biggest change, I'd say, that I thought was kind of interesting and changed it a lot.
It stars Spider-Man.
It stars Spider-Man, and it's called The Avengers. And it doesn't have Spider-Man. It's...
Well, you don't want to bust him on that? Yeah. The museum fans in the audience? Jesus Christ. Say one wrong museum, everyone goes crazy. He's fucking up everything over here. He's blowing the whole thing.
There's no narration in the movie, which I thought was kind of interesting and actually changes it a lot. There's a lot of narration in the book where Batman is being hyper-violent. It seems like he's being fascist. But the narration makes it very clear that he's Batman, and he's trying to hold on to...
That's good for me, because I would have forgotten.
Right. No, that he's holding on to trying not to actually hurt people. He's trying to protect people. That's always his first and foremost thing. When you eliminate that, it becomes just Batman fucking shit up.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. So that changes it a little bit. I wasn't crazy about that, but I do think it's worth checking out. You would like that.
Yeah, well, that's just a weird thing of, like, watching Batman beat the crap out of somebody and then having like a voiceover being like, actually, it's both ways. It's not just, you know, before you guys tuned
in. I don't know if that's
like
actually the voiceover.
No, Pete did it. Pete recorded it.
I'm really sorry. I'm Batman.
I know I shouldn't be doing this.
But this is for your own good.
You know, I've been doing
this for a long
time.
It hurts me more than it hurts you.
And I'm sort of returning, so.
Did the voice match up well for, like, who, you know, what was it, Peter Weller?
The voice
Weller,
is Peter
right?
Weller?
Yeah, RoboCop.
So
RoboCop.
Yeah. So it's RoboCop as Batman, and it totally works.
Does it?
There's only one
Gordon,
Batman.
On the other hand, is played by this guy, David Selby. Very nice man. I met him the other night and chatted with him a little bit. Lovely guy. Starred in Dark Shadows.
Nice. The movie
Quentin
or the
Collins,
TV show?
Not the TV show.
Nice.
So very nice man. His voice sounds like Troy McClure the entire time.
Do you mean Phil Hartman?
No,
no,
Troy
he
McClure.
Thinks The Simpsons is real.
Oh, jeez, I'm sorry.
Because he comes out and he's like, I'm Commissioner Gooden.
Yeah.
Pretty
you
much.
You might remember me from...
Yeah. We're all having some fun here.
We'll spend the next hour or
Kevin,
so quoting The Simpsons.
Kevin Conroy is the only Batman, though.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a bummer. I would have loved to see Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill come back for... The
Hell yeah.
last Batman story,
yeah.
That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
But Peter Weller was actually pretty great. And the rest of the voices
it.
Were pretty great, too.
It's RoboCop. Also, Pete, come on.
Yeah, he's RoboCop.
Pete, don't be a dick.
Come on,
Pete.
No.
He's
Pete, don't be a dick.
Pete, why are you such a dick?
I am.
Give
don't
RoboCop
be
a job.
Dick.
Nope.
Don't be a dick.
Don't. Oh, okay.
That's it for the week. All right, guys, we're going to turn with our next section, which is trivia, and we're going to turn it over to Don't Be a Dick LePage.
Yes. Scoop LePage.
All right, guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your... Yes, you, first-hand up guy. Come on up.
Come on up. Come on up.
Come on up. Come on up. All right, sir. Over here where the mic is. What is your name?
John Hazard.
John Hazard, audience. Audience, John Hazard. Hi, John Hazard. All right, John, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3. Gift card yours, all right? Today's trivia is on epics.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh, did you buy the book?
Read it. Don't look at them.
You got the book.
We're judging you. Don't look them in the eyes.
That's all right. If you listened at all to the beginning of the show, you will get this right. All right. Thank you, Boothman. Here we go. Question number one.
Thank you, Colonel Booth.
Epics is a collection of 4 stories containing the pulse-pounding, high-flying adventures of hot rods, robots, and blank.
Ooh.
Is it A, rocket packs, B, rocket launchers, or C, rocket raccoon? So it's either A, which is what I would pick.
And I just want to mention it's a trick question because there's actually only 3 stories to the book.
Oh.
What? Oh.
So it's either A, which is correct, or B, rocket launchers.
I'm going to go with A.
Yes!
Way to think about
feel free just to, you know, Get them out there. All right. One of them. One of these amazing stories is called Iron Blank. Is it A, Iron Fist, B, Iron Ghost,
yes,
B, or is it C, Iron Ore?
Iron Ghost.
Iron Ghost. All right, here we go. Last question. Focus up. Drake is the story of.
He's a rapper. Sorry.
Nope. Wrong.
No, he's not a rapper.
Ooh. Eat that, Drake.
Drake is one of our biggest listeners, you guys. Why?
I don't think so.
Degrassi.
Anyways, Drake is the story of blank. Is it A, a private investigator? That sounds like it makes sense. Or B, a cop? Or is it C, a hotel? Drake Hotel, get it? Come on. All right.
Come on.
All right, so is it Drake, the story of A, a private investigator? Or is it B, don't pick B?
A.
A is correct. You have won $25. Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. So a cop is a crazy idea, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
couldn't be a cop. All right. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Invincible. Invincible is an amazing series.
Why are you looking forward to Invincible? What's going on in that book, Pete?
Well, there's a lot going on, Zelbin. The writer...
His name's Alex Zelbin.
I don't know if you've heard of him. He's kind of an unknown guy. Doesn't do a lot, but...
Bob Kirk?
Nope, that's wrong.
Okay.
Nope. Also close, but no. I don't know where to start. Anyways, this is cool because Invincible himself is kind of hurt and his struggle to get back, and then the rest of the team as they're trying to kind of uphold in his absence and all the kind of in-betweens that happen. So it's really, I know that was a weird sentence.
I like the in-betweens.
Yeah.
But my favorite part is the in-betweens.
Yeah. Well, no, because they focused, they took a time out for like a little bit of a love story, which I'm sure you appreciate.
Well, actually, I was just about to say that that love story has been really good.
Yeah.
Robot and Monster Girl.
I'm pretty sure this issue wraps that up.
Yeah. It does, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, it continues it. I don't know if it's the conclusion, but
are you
really
saying
good.
That because you've read it already?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You think so?
I don't know.
Shut the fuck up. you don't even know. Do you even care?
No.
Do you even care anymore?
Whatever.
He only cares about his walrus.
I know. I'm looking forward to Dancer number 5 from Image Comics. Writer Nathan Edmondson is writing a great story about an assassin who works for the government. Who they clone, and then he falls in love with a dancer. Then the clone is trying to kill him. He kidnaps the dancer. Whoa. Shit happens. It's great.
Whoa.
Yeah, awesome series. There's two things I'm really looking forward to.
No,
you can only say one.
Only one?
Yeah.
You can say two if you say one of them really fast. And in a funny voice.
One of them is Angel and Faith number 14.
No one's going to read that at all.
Well, here's the thing. Actually, I feel like nobody is reading it, but it is a fantastic series. Even if you don't care about the Buffy TV series at all, it's a great book, and every issue is a fantastic entry point. Audience member, random audience member there is giving me the thumbs up and agreeing with me. It's great. Really do pick it up.
What's the second pick already?
For those of you listening, Alex second pointed to Mitt Romney in the corner.
I did.
Big Angel and Faith fan.
He loves it. He's actually wearing a Buffy the Vampire Slayer t-shirt right now.
Someone take a picture.
The other one, Happy Number 1, is coming out from Grant Morrison from Image Comics. I'm really fascinated to read that. Just because he's been going on and on about how he's tired of superhero comics. He's not going to write them anymore. So this is, obviously, he started writing this before that. But this is our chance to see him really exercise that for the first time. So I'm curious to see that. What are you looking forward to?
The Joe Kubert artist edition of his Tarzan books.
Nice.
From IDW. Yeah. That's I mean, those artist editions are always beautiful. And the Tarzan stuff was, I know, one of Joe's personal favorites of his own work. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. Cool. And Epics, obviously, but plug some of your own stuff. What should people check out?
Oh, Life with Archie, number 22, is out there on the stands right now.
Nice.
So I draw that every month, so at least it's drawn well.
What a ringing endorsement.
All right. Fabio, what about you?
I saw their American Vampire.
Great book.
The hardcover trade is coming out, the number 4. I'm a big fan of Rafael. I actually had the pleasure to meet him. We're all from Brazil. So You know, I really, really like his work. But I'm very, like, I'm horrible at picking monthly books. So I'm that guy who waits for the trade.
Yeah. And you're that one guy that waits for the trade.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, pretty and much if I can make a little buying monthly comics.
On the trade deal, I'm inking a book by Image called Hell Yeah. I jump in on issue 5. And issue 5 was out maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think the trade with the first story arc is coming very soon. I just got my comps. They look beautiful. And when you do the show again, you should totally, you know, talk about Hell Yeah and tell
really
people
like,
to buy
I really
it.
Like
we've
Hell
talked
yeah.
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
Yeah. It's an awesome book. And I can't wait to, you know, start inking issue 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. But pick the trade when it's out. It's not this week, though, but when it's out.
Cool.
Great.
And
complicated.
Anthony, what about you?
I'm a sporadic reader. You know, I'll pop into the comic shop every now and then, and I'll just try to find something that I enjoy and read it. So, you know, I can't give, like,
cool.
a definite hand.
Sporadic?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you remember you like comics.
You yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, if I'm driving by, I'll be like, maybe there's something that I enjoy.
Wow. Uh-huh. So that's one of the weirdest answers I've ever heard.
And what about your own stuff? What should people sporadically check out?
Well, I'd hope that they would check regularly.
What?
Regularly.
Yes.
So
regularly.
You want someone to do something that you don't do.
Yes. Because I like
sometimes
money.
I drive in. Sometimes I drive through.
Definitely check out Epics. If they want to, they can go to the website, epicsanthology.com, or go to the publisher's website, awakeblueworld.com as well. Check it out on Amazon. If you guys want, you can come check us out at New York Comic Con. We're going to be at table E2 over in Artist Alley.
Nice.
Definitely swing by, say hello, buy a copy.
And a print and a sketch.
And like us on Facebook. But you know, we're just working really hard on the book and getting it out as much as we can.
Awesome.
Cool. And all of you guys are also at the Joe Kubert School, right?
Yeah. And open house October 20th.
All right, there you go. So if you're interested in anything on the artistic side of things, definitely head there because Joe Kubert School things, just in general. Yeah. If you want to get, if you want your art displayed at a natural history museum, you've got to go to the Joe Kubert School.
Someday the best artists will be displayed there.
Right, a couple of things before
you
we go.
Guy.
Next week on the show, we're going to have very special guests. Ben Blacker and Ben Acker from the Thrilling Adventure Hour are going to be here.
Yeah, very excited.
Too much or I made it up?
Did you? Too many bums?
Those are real people, Booth.
They're real people.
Booth Van, you're fired. How about that?
Fine. Free to last.
No, wait. We haven't unlocked his chains.
Next week, tune in for the all-new, all-different Boothman. Yeah. A couple of other things before we go.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear and meet all of our amazing guests.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Special apologies to Drake.
Also, comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, if you're interested in sponsoring the podcast, please shoot us an email at comicbookclublive@gmail.com and we will chat with you about that. A couple of people you want to thank before we go. We want to thank Fernando for being on the show. Fabio. Anthony. First of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at Fontana's in New York. Totally free. Please tell your friends.
Thanks, everybody.